Hey, I'll tell you, it's so cool that Murray Hill's still up and running. And, you know, it just made me think about the reality that nothing happens by chance. So you're not here by chance this morning. You're here for a reason. I was at a time in my life where I was trying to decide if I was going to, I didn't know if I'd ever pastor a church again. I had kind of got burnt out. I was in a church up in South Carolina doing a ministry similar to Murray Hill Theater, and there's a lot of real religious people there, and I heard some crazy things come out of Christians' mouths, you know, like seeing people on stage who had tattoos and colored hair and all this stuff, and I remember sitting in a board-type meeting, and we had done this ministry, and we had all these, the church was about 100 adults. We would do these concerts, we'd have 300 plus kids come out, and they'd hear the gospel. And I remember sitting in one of these board meetings, and some guy who was really upset because we had those kind of people in our church, and he said, you know, you're going to tell me that the Holy Spirit lives inside someone who has tattoos and all these piercings, and I was like, dude, I'm not sure the Holy Spirit lives in you. You know, I didn't say that, but I was thinking, I'm like, this is, you know, so I really was at a place where I was like, I don't know if I'll ever do this again, you know, I resigned from the church there. The church was struggling, and they needed to let someone go, and I raised my hand, man, I'm the guy. And so we left, and I started, you guys are going to laugh if you don't know the story. So I started a Christian independent record label. I was a producer of some crazy sounding CDs, you know, like hardcore, rapcore, punk rock, all with really good, you know, lyrics. And so we put that before them, just so you know. Now, my wife would say, yeah, but you can't understand any of them. And so I said, all right, Lord, you know, God had made, you know, given me some contacts with a lot of these musicians. And so we put it before the Lord. So I'm going to do this for a year. And Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'm all in. And we produced like 4 or 5 CDs and realized how difficult it was to break into the Christian market of just distributing those to like Christian bookstores and stuff. And at the end of that time, you know, gave it that year plus and said, all right, Lord, I don't know what's next. And I was at a music festival, and I had met Tony before, and I met him there, and he came up, and I was selling all, kind of getting rid of all of our CDs and stuff, and he started talking to me, and it was a 3-day festival, and this guy kept showing up at my table, you know, and he kept asking me all these questions, like he's asking me theological questions, what I believe about this and that, and finally, like the third day, he's like, hey, you want to go to dinner? And I said, sure. So we go and eat, and I sit down with him, and he says, you know, I came to this festival. I wasn't supposed to come. I had this family thing planned. It all got canceled. And I felt like God telling me to come to this festival. And so I sent an email out to our prayer team and said, pray for me. I'm going to Cornerstone Festival. Not sure why. I just feel like I'm supposed to go there. And he sat there at the table and said, I think the reason I'm here is because I was supposed to meet you, and I want you to consider being the manager, director of our ministry in Jacksonville, Murray Hill Ministries. And I was like, man, I really appreciate it, you know, but I don't think that's going to work, you know. I'm like, you know, I was kind of burned out on that too. And so anyhow, long story short, I'll make this quick. I leave, I come home, Roxanne wasn't with me. I get home and I tell her this story. And I said, yeah, I met this guy and he wants us to come to Jacksonville and visit and see what this ministry is all about. And she said, well, that's funny because I was talking to Renuka and Paul, some friends of ours, and they invited us to go to Orlando. And he's going there with his work. They got an extra hotel room. And they said, come and hang out with us. And I thought that might be fun, and maybe we can stop in Jacksonville on the way through. So we said, all right, we made a plan. And the day before we were getting ready to leave, all of his work stuff in Orlando got changed and fell through. And we're like, what are we going to do? We said, well, let's just go to Jacksonville. We went to Jacksonville, and I went and saw the ministry there. But more than that, just spent some time with Tony. And as crazy as it sounds, we just felt like, you know, God wants us to go to Jacksonville. And so I helped out with the ministry there for about 2 years, and it was great. It was a great blessing. We started a recording studio there, did a bunch of stuff, but God had a bigger plan, you know. And if you know the story of Emmaus Church, which was Journey Church, you know, 10 years ago, it was a Bible study in our home. And, I mean, God knew all of this, right? And we had no idea. And I'm sitting with this guy in this tent in Illinois on a hot summer day telling me, I think God brought me here to meet you. And I was thinking, man, that sounds crazy, and you might be crazy. But God had a plan. And so I just want to remind us of that today, that God does have a plan. You're not here by chance, not just in this building, but on this earth. You know, we all have purpose. And I'm probably not going to get through everything I want to share through my notes, but there are a few things that I just want to let you know just for our body here. We've been praying for Brenda Wallace. We've been praying for John Lawrence, Tom Fitzpatrick, who's doing well and recovering, and he's doing real well. John is still in ICU at Mayo, still having problems with his lungs. If you know the story, he had a heart attack, but he also had a lung transplant 2 years ago, so a lot of complications. We're going to pray for him in just a little bit. Doctors told Susan, I was there on Friday, and she had just heard that. They said, you know, we have hope, but it's going to be a long road. He's probably going to be in the hospital for months. And so that's a tough thing to hear. So we're going to pray for her. Brenda Wallace, who has cancer, and outside of a miracle, you know, there's nothing left that the doctors can do. And, you know, I sat there with her, and she said, you know, tell everyone I'm just so thankful for their prayers, and I know people praying for my healing. And she said, but I just want everyone to know I'm okay. She said, you know, no matter what happens, I'm okay. I know where I'm going. She said, pray for my family. And so I want to pray for those situations and just remind us, you know, God is with us in the midst of it. Sometimes he heals and moves the way we, you know, desire and ask. But sometimes he works through suffering, you know. And sometimes that's what really impacts people. And she told me when I was sitting there talking to Brenda yesterday, she said I was with Rod and her husband, Rod, just he has a faith in God, but he's just been far from the church. And she said they were talking, and he was like, I don't know how you are so positive. How do you, you know, how are you, you know, so okay with this? And she said, you know, it's the Lord. The Lord's given me peace. And so just even in the midst of that, the opportunity through a very, very difficult time and through suffering to glorify God and see God work through that. And he works through difficult, difficult times. Tony shared a little bit, just mentioned part of his story. And one day I'll have him come back and share that with us, because it's a powerful testimony of God working through a terrible tragedy and how God's, you know, still in the midst of that, how he works. And so let's pray. I want to pray for them and any of you who might be facing some difficult, difficult times. God, thank you that you're here with us. Thank you that you love us. Even when we're in the middle of dark times, even in the middle of the deepest struggles, you're here. So we thank you for that. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that because of Jesus, the door has been opened for us to come into your presence, Almighty God, and make our requests known to you. So we do that this morning. We pray for John. Pray that you'd breathe life into his body, that his lungs would be strong, that they would find where this bleeding is coming from. Lord, that you'd bring healing. And we pray for Susan. Just give her the peace that only you can give her right now. We pray for Brenda as well. We thank you for her faith. We thank you for the hope she has in you. It's our desire, Lord, to see her raised up out of that bed and healed. But God, we don't know your plan, and so we just surrender that to you. Pray that you continue to work in Rod's heart and comfort her family, be there with them. But God, we thank you that we know that when we breathe our last breath on this earth, real life begins. And I pray that you'd help us to really hold on to that truth and live like we believe that. And so, God, thank you for Tom. Pray that his recovery would continue, and we'd see him here again with us soon. And we thank you for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I also want to say thank you to all of you who support, you know, just the work of the Lord through Emmaus Church. It allows us to do things like support Murray Hill Ministries. We were given this property a couple years ago by Grace Fellowship Church and a few of those families. Brenda was one of those families that was a part of Grace Fellowship, and some of those families are still here. But when they gave us this building, you know, we added on a little section, and along with it came about 14 acres of land. We had it's like 0.8 acres for sale out on Beach Boulevard. We actually closed on that property. So we sold that piece of property. It was a little over $200,000. And so we took $100,000 of that and put it against our mortgage. We have a mortgage that's, you know, on that part of the building. So we put $100,000 against that. And then I'm just so pleased and honored to say that we were able to give $100,000 gift to Project for Hope, which ministers to widows and single moms in Guatemala. And so to be able to be a blessing to them as they buy their property to do that work is just an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. And I want to give God all the praise and glory for that. And he's good. Amen? Amen. And so be praying, because we have another piece of property on Beach Boulevard. That one's probably worth twice as much money. And if we sell that, we'll do the same thing, and we'll see where God would lead us to give it, to be a part of doing what he's doing. You know, it's not about us. It's about him, and it's about his kingdom and what he wants to do in and through us. And so so I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for meeting Tony. I'm thankful for God leading, and I'm just prayerful and praying that he would lead through the rest of the few minutes I got before I release you to go home and do yard work and all the things that many of you are going to do, and not be distracted by sports and things like that. I'm kidding. all right, so here we go. We had a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We're going to have another one this Wednesday. And, you know, we finished up. We were praying for a lot of things, and we finished up, and I was talking to one of the people, and I said, you know, isn't it weird? Like, you could sit here, and we were here for an hour, and we prayed for an hour straight. Like, no talk, we just prayed. I'm like, if you think about, like, going praying, like, as an individual, go pray for an hour. Does it seem like a daunting kind of task? Like, you sit there for 5 minutes, and then you're distracted. The grocery list running through your head, your to-do list, what's going on at work, what's going on at school, and, you know. But we prayed for an hour, and it was just an awesome time, and time just flew by. And it's in times like that that you realize sometimes what's most important. You're bringing those things before God. God starts moving in your heart. You're thinking of things you haven't thought of in a long time because you're really focusing on who God is and what he's doing. And I just wonder, why is it that, wow, why is it that in times... And the voice of God said, wow, this is, should I grab a different microphone or what? I don't have the other. It's the TV. Okay. Well, I can't talk like that. So let me see if this one, am I done? Is it done? All right. Dang, the devil. The devil's in the details, isn't he? All right, where was I? Okay, so here's the thing. There's moments where we feel like we're closer to God. Whether it's in a prayer meeting for an hour, you come to a church service, you sing songs, and in some of those moments, we feel really close to God, like we experience his presence in a way that maybe we haven't experienced in quite some time. You've had those experiences, right? And they're great, but here's the thing I want to warn us of. We need to be careful that we don't segment our lives into this portion of my life, that's my spiritual life. This is where I'm closer to God. It's when I have my devotional time in the morning. It's when I have those prayer times. It's when I come to places like Emmaus. So this is my spiritual life. And then here's where I live the rest of my life. It's when I go to lunch with my friends. It's when I sit and watch the Jaguar game. It's when I go to work. And so we have the spiritual side and the secular or normal part of life. And I don't believe that's the way God intended us to live at all. I really don't. I believe that all of life is sacred. All of life is to be lived unto God, because you never know when he's going to show up. Actually, you always know when he's going to show up. The question is, when are you going to show up? When am I going to show up? Because he's here, right? If God is omnipresent, he's here. He's where you go to lunch. He's when you're watching the Jaguar game. He's with you. He's at the Cornerstone Music Festival. It's really a matter of me showing up. So maybe the reason why I feel closer to God in times of devotion, in times of church gatherings, maybe the reason I feel more close to him and experience his presence more in those times, maybe it's because I expect to experience him there. So I'm like more aware and I'm more present. It's not that he's more present. Sometimes you go to Guatemala, places like that, anyone who's been on a mission trip, and you're like, man, the Lord's really moving there. No, really, I mean, yeah, he's moving there, but he's moving here. What happened is you went there and you turned your cell phone off and you weren't distracted by email and your only focus was serving people and serving God. And so you were awake to things that you haven't been awake to. So I wonder if it's more about us than it is about him, because he's here. I'm reminded of this interaction that Jesus has with this Samaritan woman. He is tired from his journey. Jesus was fully human and fully God. And he sits down and he's at this well and there's a Samaritan woman there. And he says, "Will you give me a drink?" And she says, "Why are you asking me for a drink? You know that Samaritans and Jews, we don't talk like this." And he says, "Well, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. And you would never be thirsty again." And she's like, "Man, give me some of that because I hate walking to this well. Can I have some of that water?" She didn't realize he's talking about something spiritual. So Jesus being Jesus, I love it. He goes, "I'll tell you what, go get your husband and come back." And she goes, "Well, I don't have a husband." He's like, "You're right. You've had five, and the one you're living with now, that's not your husband. You're telling the truth. You don't have a husband." Oh, like she's like caught, right? And so then here's her response. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father's looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." See, what was Jesus saying in that moment? He goes, right now, and the way it's been, worship has been tied to a location. You see, you guys worship over here, and we worship over here, but the time is coming, and it's come now, where it won't be about a place. It's going to be about worshiping true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. See, he's clearly teaching that worship is not tied to a place. And I'm afraid that even in the church today, what we've done is we've kind of brought our worship back, or we've tied it back to a place. Because me and you expect to meet God here more than we expect to meet him when you're talking to that client, or when you're in class, or when you're just at work, or when you're with some other moms. See, we expect to meet him in the morning when we open our Bible, when we pray. We expect to meet him when we come to church gatherings. But our expectation isn't so much that we'll meet him wherever we are. And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, worship's not about a place. Worship, I mean, and it's not music either. You can worship through music, but just because you're playing music and people are clapping their hands and people are jumping around, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily worship. That could actually be closer to a cardio workout than actual worship, because worship's about what's going on in your heart. So you could be in a place and have all this hype, but if you're not connecting with the one true God, and it's not a response from your heart, then it's just a show. And we got to be careful that it's not about a show. Not just us here, but I mean, for you, that you're not like coming to be an audience. Like, we're coming to be in God's presence and, yes, to worship him. But please don't let that be the one day of the week or 1 hour of the week when you do that. Believe that when you walk out those doors, he's with you. And ask him to wake you up to what's going on. Because we localize God to these specific places, and then we segment our lives like, this is just my normal part of life, here's my spiritual part of my life, and God wants to be a part of all of it. And if we were to be honest, we'd say there's times where we feel like we're closer to God. And I think that it's a lot of times it's because we have this expectation that we're going to meet God in those places. But he wants us to meet him wherever we're at. He wants us to wake up to his presence. So there's so many distractions, you know, that just keep us from acknowledging that he's with us. He's present. Remember when Jacob, I don't know if you know this story, if you've been in church for a while, Jacob has this dream. He's on his way to this place called Haran, and he goes to sleep. And so he lays down on the ground, and he pulls up a rock for a pillow. Who does that? I guess they did that back then. He puts his head on a rock and he falls asleep and he has this dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder and he sees this ladder and the Lord is at the top and angels are coming up and down on the ladder. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you this ground that you're sleeping on and your descendants are going to be many and you're going to be blessed. And if you heard that story, you remember what Jacob says when he wakes up from the dream, Genesis 28:16? Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. See, he wasn't in a temple. He wasn't in some place where you'd expect to meet God. But he had this experience with God because God broke into his reality and gave him this revelation in a dream. And he is like, God is in this place, and I didn't even realize it. And I just wonder, you know, we're out there doing our thing, and as we're walking through life, we're stepping on holy ground because God is with you and God is in that place wherever you find yourself. And so many times, we just don't even realize it. And then the sad thing is when we do realize it, we do things like what Jacob did. And I love that the scripture tells this because it shows that he was just a man. But what happens, we have a moment with God, like a special moment where we feel close to God. And what do we tend to do? Like, I want to recreate that moment. Like, maybe I read my Bible this morning, I took my time, and I did something different. And so, man, that's the formula. That's how you get to God. Or it was I went to this one meeting at this church building, and I had this experience. Man, God's there. Revival's breaking out there. Jacob wakes up. He goes, God is in this place. I didn't realize it. And then look at verse 17. But he was also afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. It's none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. He's like, this is it. This is the house of the Lord. And I'm like, no, dude, it's not the house of the Lord because in God's house, he doesn't use rocks for pillows, okay? That's not the house of the Lord. The Lord just woke you up in that moment and he made you realize that he's there. And so my prayer for us today is that God would wake us up and that we realize he's with us. It's not about that special place. It's not about being here gathered at Emmaus. This is good, and we can worship together corporately, and it's a good thing. But God does not live in man-made houses. Paul said this when he was talking to the people in Athens, and he walks through this city, and I love this story. It's in Acts, and he's walking through the city, and he sees all these idols. There's idols all over the place. And it says that he was deeply disturbed. Now, it's not like Paul was afraid of the idols or he was scared or anything. He's just deeply disturbed, the scripture tells us. And so he begins sharing with people about Jesus. He starts telling them about the one who came and sacrificed his life for us, and he's the way to the Father. And they start listening. People are like, man, we want to hear more about what you have to say. And so they invite him to their council meeting. And when Paul is there, he addresses them. In Acts 17:22-29, Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. I just love that. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture for a number of reasons. But I love that because Paul goes in this place that is, I mean, they're worshiping idols. They're far from God. And he doesn't go in there and blast them. He doesn't go in there and tell them everything they're doing wrong. In fact, when he starts the conversation, he actually compliments them. I see you guys are very religious people. You know, he doesn't get in an argument with them. Man, we could learn something from this. All my Facebook friends, we could learn something from this, you know? Like, we don't have to argue. In fact, he looks and he finds something good. And he goes, I see you guys are very religious. And I saw this altar and it was to the unknown God. Let me tell you about that God that you don't know. And then he shares with them. And I love it when he says, God's not far from any one of us. Them as unbelievers, all of us in here. God's not far from any one of us. That's why there's times where you see these people, you think they're the farthest from God. Something happens in their life, and overnight, boom, like transformation. This person was born again. It's evident. Their life has changed. You go, man, that person went from being so far from God to look at them now. They weren't really that far from God, and God wasn't really that far from them. You know, they just realized that he was there, and they surrendered to him, and he changed their life. He changed their heart. And for those of us who've had that experience, I think we need to remember he's not that far from us. Every day of our life, every hour, every minute. And Paul sums it up and he goes, in him we live and move and have our being. So, yeah, he's with us here. He's with us when we sing. He's with you when you walk out the door. He's with you when you go have lunch with your friends. He's actually there when you're watching the Jaguar game. So you might want to just check your language. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's with us always, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. That's what we would say we all believe. He doesn't dwell in places made by men. And unfortunately, we think that, like, this is the place of worship. We even call churches, quote unquote, which there's nothing in the Bible about places that we call churches, but we call churches places of worship. And to me, that's a scary thing, because what ends up happening is we forget that we have that opportunity every day of our life, every minute of every day. David understood this in the Old Testament, Psalm 139. Listen to what David says. Verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. I mean, you're everywhere, Lord. And I wonder what life would be like if we really believed this, if we lived every day like God was with us. And I think everyone in here who would say they're a follower of Jesus or they're a Christian, you'd say, yeah, I believe that. We say we believe it, and we think we believe it, and then functionally, a lot of times, we live more like atheists in moments than actually Christians who believe this, followers of Jesus who think this is real, that he died, that he rose, that he ascended to heaven, and he is there, and he wants to hear us, he wants to hear our prayers, and he moves on our behalf. And the day when we breathe our last breath here on earth, it's not game over. It's life just begins. See, if we believe that, that would change the way that we face difficult situations. It would change us in ways that we cannot imagine. And we would all say it's truth. I'm going to kind of wrap up here by reading a couple of verses, and I'm going to ask the band to come back up. These are some verses that we've all heard, and if we're going to be honest, we read these and we go, all right, I know that's truth, but I struggle with it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, if we're going to be honest, we read that and go, okay, yeah, that's God's word, but easier said than done, right? I mean, always be joyful, never stop praying, like pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances. But it goes, this is God's will. This is what he wants. This is what he desires from you. And I ask the question, what if we really believe this truth that God's with us? We don't have to be in any special place. You don't have to be on your knees with your head bowed to talk to him. You don't have to be anywhere special. He's present. We just need to be more present. What if we really believe that? And what if we walk through life just talking to him more, praying without ceasing, without stopping? I mean, and if we believe that he's God and he's eternal, and when even when the worst thing that could possibly happen to us in this life, the worst thing, what's the absolute worst thing that we would think of from a fleshly standpoint, what's the worst thing could happen? We die. The Bible teaches that's the most glorious thing for a Christian, the most glorious thing. So if we believe that and we live life talking to him and walking with him, and when we face those difficult times, it's why someone like Brenda Wallace can go, I'm good, I'm okay. I have peace. He's with me, and I know I'm going to go to be with him. And we scratch our head and go, wow, here's the thing. I want to be that person, but I don't want to just be that person the last 30 days or 60 days or 6 months of my life. See, I want to be that person now who's walking with God and going, God, you're here. When all life goes to crap and you're going, what happened? I lost my job. What's going on? And I know he's here. God, I might not understand it, but you're here. So help me understand this, because I don't get it. Because when I look at it in the flesh, it looks like you're really screwing me over here. God's okay if you say that. Those are probably strong words for some of you, but read the Psalms. Just read the Psalms, you know? And the reason I say that, and the reason I say it the way I said it, because yesterday, I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. I leave Brenda Wallace's house. I walk outside. I told you about her husband, who's kind of a little bit closed to church and things like that. I walk out of her house. He has just pulled up, and he's in the garage. And so I walk up, and I go, hey, Rod, how's it going? He starts talking to me, and then he goes, he's just talking to me about what's going on with his wife. And he goes, I want to tell you, I have not prayed as much as I've prayed during this time. I have not prayed this much in my entire life. And he goes, I'm going to tell you. He's like, man, I just tell God the way it is. He's like, I just talk to God. He's like, you might not like it, people not like it, but I just talk to God. I'm like, dude, listen, that's what the Bible tells us to do. Don't play games with God. Lay your heart before God. I told him, and so listen, here's a guy who doesn't really come to church, probably doesn't spend any time reading the Bible, but here's the, I go, Rod, listen, man, you're just doing what everybody in Scripture's done. I said, if you ever want, you know, like you need some peace or whatever, I said, open your Bible to like the middle of the Bible, and you're going to hit Psalms, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to read stuff just like you're saying. God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And by the end of David's complaint, and he's obviously going, all right, you're God and I'm not. I surrender to you. And so whatever your heart cry is, however you would say that, don't be afraid to express that to God. And when we start talking to him like that, and it's in every day, whatever we're going through, then all of a sudden, God, I don't like this situation, but you're here. You haven't left me. And I can have a peace. Maybe I could actually have a joy. Maybe I can actually give thanks for those just sucky parts of life, because God's with me and he's never forsaken me and he won't forsake me. If you stand, I'm gonna read this scripture as a prayer, and we're gonna close with this song, and just actually ask you to spend some time before the Lord. As usual, communion is off to either side of the stage if you want to take a moment with the Lord, but in Ephesians, Paul prays this prayer for the people in Ephesus, and he's praying that they would wake up to God's presence, that their eyes, the eyes of their heart, they'd be enlightened and opened up. And this is my prayer for us today. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking God that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God, open the eyes of our hearts. God, help us to see you for who you are, to believe that you're with us and that you love us, and regardless of where we find ourselves, we can come before you and just talk to you. You don't dwell in houses made with human hands. You dwell in the hearts of men and women who've surrendered to you. God, remind us that you're with us. Help us to develop that relationship that we can walk through life knowing you're here. Help us to worship you from our hearts, God. draw us close to you, I pray. Open our hearts to your presence. In Jesus' name.